You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. That's one part blah, 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 one part ha, 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 and just a smidgen of ta-da!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Welcome.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
I even have a welcome mat in front of my front door, which is where it should be in front of the front door. It says welcome on it, but I don't think I really mean it. I do that because having a mat that says go away is probably in bad taste and would label me as a grumpy old fart, which I am not really, kind of not. So I do the welcome mat, but I don't think I mean it. But welcome anyway, welcome to the show. I've been doing radio for 30 years, so shut up, I know what I'm doing. Alright, hey, it's a special day, isn't it, huh? Is it your birthday? Oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was your birthday. Well, it's a special day anyway, because every day is a special day. And somebody actually sent me that little saying in Facebook, and I befriended that person. I befriended them. They ain't gonna be my friend. They are no longer. I block them because don't send me stupid little sayings that are supposed to make me feel good. What? They don't really make me feel good. You look like you're in a fantasy world of denial, that things are not what you think they are because they're not. That kind of thing, you know, when you send me these little things like, every day is the first day of your life. No, only if you're a newborn. Otherwise, there are many days that have already expired in your life. So, no. You can do anything you want. No, you can't. You're not allowed to. Murder's against the law. It's not true at all. If you just visualize the dream, you can achieve it. No, not if there are other people involved. They will try to stop you. So, stop it with that stuff. You know, every day is a day from heaven. What? What are you? Now you're mixing religion. My wife had a friend that said, when I pass away, at least we'll be able to spend eternity together in heaven. And my wife said, oh my God, no. Oh God, no. Oh no. I hope you're going to hell. That's eternal damnation. We can spend eternity in heaven together. That's a long time to be with you. Anyway, and when they talk about heaven, they always point into the sky. I don't think heaven is necessarily a geographical location, if you know what I mean. Pointing into the sky just kind of goes nowhere. There's no pointing to be done. When heaven would be a celestial kind of concept that doesn't have directions. You know, there are no street signs for it, like heaven exit 2, 1/2 mile away. I mean, it doesn't work like that. Anyway, thank you for listening to my realism program. I am a doctor of sociology, which means nothing to anybody, so thank you for that. How are you? Good to be with you. A special day? Sure, why not? I'll go along with you. Why not? Why not feel good about things? You know, in the long run, you're right, I'm wrong. Why not feel good about things? You're right, I'm stupid. Thank you for setting me straight. I'm going to start this show by actually scaring the hell out of you. And it's not even Halloween, and I don't need a Halloween story to scare the hell out of you. When I was a little child, somebody told me, I think it was a friend who was trying to impress me that they knew stuff that I didn't. But I had a little friend who told me this, and I looked it up, because we didn't have internet back then, back in the Stone Age. So I actually had to go to the library or ask other people. So it was verified. And now that I do have a computer, my God, you've ruined my life. But now that I do have a computer, I did check it out. It is absolutely true in every way, shape, and form. And it freaks me out every time I bring the subject up. And I will warn you ahead of time, if you have children in the room that you think may be affected by what I say, and that should be the case, please remove them from the room now and drive them somewhere. Put them somewhere that they can't hear me. But this is going to freak you out even more so than the kids. Even more so. Here we go. Oh, God, I can't believe it. And when I was told this information as a child and it was verified, I didn't sleep for a long time until I just, because time had passed, I just forgot, you know, the impact of what was told to me. But this is true. Sit down. You may have to sit down. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Your generation never stands up. So you're good already. Here we go. There are things living in your eyebrows and your eyelashes. Excuse me, Ron? Yes. And they're little microorganisms, but they do exist. They are alive. They do live on your facial hair. Well, I shave every day, so that's not a problem. I'm a girl. I may have a little mustache, but I don't really have any facial hair. It lives in your eyebrows and your eyelashes, and everybody has them unless you are in a real unfortunate fire. There, and there's not one of these little animals. There's thousands of them living in your eyebrows and your eyelashes right now. There's living things crawling around in your eyelashes and eyebrows. They're called microorganisms because you can't see them. But I think with a high-powered microscope, you might find that you're going to be freaked out big time. What are these little creatures? They are microorganisms. They are alive. They are little animals. They have features of animals. Here's what really freaked me. That was enough to freak me out. Here's what really freaks me out. They are eight-legged parasites. They have legs. They're eight-legged. Somebody actually got close enough to count the legs on these little things crawling around in your eyebrows and eyelashes. And you're saying to me, Ron, I wash my face every day, sometimes twice a day. That's not the case. I use a very powerful soap because my skin is really crazy. And no, you can't have anything living in what I put on my... Yes, you can. They are immune to that. They right now, as I speak to you, Ron, you're freaking me out. Shut up. As I speak to you, these things are crawling around in your eyelashes and your eyebrows. Now, they're small, of course, but they live and they exist in there, and they're eight-legged. That's what freaks me out. Somebody actually got close enough to see that there are eight legs on these things. That means they're really there. It's not so, when someone says microorganism, you know, that kind of thing, okay, you know, that's like really small. I'm sure they're throughout my body. There's like germs and things like that. I get that. These are eight-legged things. They have eight legs, and they're crawling around, and they're parasites. Now, I could look up the word parasite, and it would freak me out on top of it. That means I think that they feed off of you. I don't think they're destroying you. It's okay, but I mean, it's all okay. I mean, it's all okay. I mean, otherwise, people would be like writhing on the ground in pain, going, get these things out of my face. It's okay. It's okay. It's no cause for alarm. It's just something that is. And there's probably things crawling around on your body all the time that are even worse than that, and I don't know. Check out your sex organs. They're probably riddled with crap by now. Anyway, by the way, eight-legged? Shouldn't it be eight-legged? No, Ron, it's actually pronounced legged. Like Legos? Yes. Why would it be legged? That's kind of odd. I walked down the street yesterday. You mean you walked down? No, I walked. But legs, for some reason, you do that different kind of thing. You do the legged as opposed to legged. I don't know why. Who made these decisions? Was there a panel of people that said, this is the way we're going to pronounce it, and that's it, and shut up. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's it. I'm sorry. It's in a book. Yeah, I think there was a panel of people. Sometimes scientists will add another element to the periodic chart. That's the chart that periodically makes sense. Yes, we discovered a different type of aluminum. We call it balloon-inum, and we're putting it on the chart. Who told you to do that? Well, it's the panel of people. Who's on the panel? I can't tell you. Then we'd have to kill you. We do some strange things, man, and that's kind of my job. It's what I've been doing my whole life, is pointing out the stuff that makes no sense, but goes even beyond making no sense. It's just wrong. It defies the laws of gravity. If you don't believe this eight-legged parasite living in your eyebrows, and not just one, there's like thousands of them in your eyebrows and your eyelashes all the time. You can blink as much as you want. You can rub your face as much as you want. They're parasites. They don't care. It's like someone coming over to your house for dinner and they never leave. They're parasites. They're there. There's nothing you can do about it. By the way, I don't have that problem. I'm just saying. I don't have that problem. But, I'm using it as an example in general. Parasites. It's not a good word. Not a good word. These are people that feed off of you. And that's not good. No, no. Do you have a friend that's a parasite? I did. I got rid of them. I blocked them. Not online. I blocked them in real life. I just blocked them. Every time they tried to contact me, I didn't exist anymore. I think it's called ghosting people. That's an interesting phrase too, huh? You don't have to be dead to ghost somebody. That's like haunting, right? I'm being haunted by this person. Are you being ghosted? No, that's not what that means, Ron. Ghosted is just you're not answering their communications. That's all that means. Well, okay. See, I got a lot to learn. I span generations. Most of you do. I span them. I don't even know how long a generation really is. I think it's when somebody has children and that's a generation. And then when those children have children, that's another generation. When those children have children, that's another. I think that's what a generation is. I know what a parasite is, but not a generation. So you can have three generations quite easily in one's lifetime, and that's freaking confusing because you were brought up in one. That's your foundation. Then they changed generations on you. Technology advanced like really fast, and now you don't understand what's going on anymore. And then the third generation, don't even go there. That's like another planet of people. There's just no way you can even handle something like that. It just gets really, really kind of nuts. Yeah, it does. I mean, generations are like, they're there to screw you up. It's like pulling the carpet from beneath you and you fall on the ground. Like, hey, what happened to my generation? Sorry, time's up. Wow, we're not going to kill you. We're just going to confuse you to the point where you don't know what's going on anymore. They had there's something on TV. It was, it's a country western, all-star spectacular on TV, on one of the networks. And, I'm not into country music. I don't mind it. I don't know how far you can go with a sick dog in a trailer park, but, she broke my heart. She took my stuff. She took my guitar. You know, you can take your stuff, you can take your trailer, but don't take his guitar. Oh my God, he will kill you. He's very upset. Don't take his guitar. And by the way, it's called, it's a guitar, not a guitar. Okay. Okay. It's legged, not legged. So I'm not into country music. I don't mind it. I'll listen to it every once in a while just as an interesting thing, but I'm not really into it to the point where I go, yeehaw. I've never said yeehaw ever in my life, and I never will. I just said it, but I did it as an example of not saying it. So it's because it's a country show, and they started naming off the country all-stars, the country, the big country performers who are appearing on this program. I did not recognize one of them. I think one of them was Trace Atkins, whom I don't know personally. I don't know if I know any of his songs, but I've heard of his name, and I know he wears a hat. Other than that, I'm not sure. But and there were like, there's like 12 or 13 performers. He's one of them. I've heard of him. I can't pick him out. If he murdered somebody and they put him in a lineup, I wouldn't know which one is him. If everybody was wearing hats, I'd have no idea who is who. But all the other country performers, I never heard of in my life. And it's not just because I don't follow country. It's because I don't know who these people are. They were naming like Bucky Joe, Pig Face. Yeah, I mean, yeah, when I was growing up, some of the groups were like really stupid names too, and stupid names for the people. I get it, but I just don't know who they are. I have no idea who they are. Even rock stars, even these rock groups, I've never heard of them. You know, Picklepuss, who's Picklepuss? I made that up, but it may be true. It sounds like it could be true. There could be a group called Picklepuss. There should be. If not, you can take it. I don't care. I don't want the royalties just because it said Picklepuss. But it's an example of a group that I wouldn't know. I have no idea who they are. Is it? Are they men? Are they women? Is there a mixture? Is it a single performer? Sometimes there are single performers who sound like they're named after groups. Yes, I'm going down to the auditorium later, to the Civic Hall, and I'm going to see Picklepuss in concert. How are they? No, how is she? It's a she. It's a woman. Picklepuss is a woman? Yes, yes. Very popular. Very, very popular. Put out some very big number one hits. I've never... What are some of her hits? Don't Touch Me There. Flagabond Bops. Flagabond Bops. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's one of Picklepuss's number one hits. And also, Drive My Nose. Drive My Nose, that makes no sense. Well, it's a Picklepuss song. Drive My Nose? You don't drive a nose, you drive a car. You don't drive a nose. I don't know, it's doing really well. Very, very popular. Very other artists have done their own versions of Drive My Nose. What? What are you talking about? Are you sure it's not Wipe My Nose? Oh, you're right. It could be Wipe My Nose. I thought it was Drive My Nose, but it could be Wipe My Nose. I don't know. I don't know either. I'm not from that generation. And then you speak to somebody, you know, like a child from that generation, and what are you? Who's your favorite performer? Oh, Picklepuss. Really? Yeah, man. You gotta listen to Picklepuss. Oh, Picklepuss is awesome. Okay, whatever. I don't want to be a part of these newer gen. I don't. I just don't. I don't want to participate. I've got enough to do. I'm still trying to figure out the generation I was from. When your generation grows older and they completely change and you don't, then you're really from outer space. You're just like, whoa, what happened? It's like, wow, I've got no foundation at all. It's just me and nobody. I'm just like, it's just me. Does anybody think the way I do? Raise your hand. Look, nobody put their hand up. Oh my God, I'm living alone. I'm living alone. Well, drive my nose or wipe it, whatever. I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily that should astound you. Because as much as I talked about animals living in your eyebrows and your eyelashes, yes, you. There are some animals that are just like scary, scary-licious. I mean, like some animals you've probably never heard of and that are going to freak you out. And that's who my guest is today. So I think you'll find this show quite interesting. But first, there's this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish, or maybe bagel in the schmear? but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knishan Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knishan Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Jennifer Zemanski joins us now. She's a freelance science writer and editor. Very interesting book. She's hooked up with National Geographic Kids. We have them as a guest on the show frequently because their books are so incredible. This one is on the top of the list, Deadliest Animals on the Planet. Jennifer, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Jennifer, out of all the things that you would write about in the science world and otherwise, what brought you to the deadliest animals?
Well, I've always been very interested in animals. I was a kid, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a veterinarian very badly. And I was the kid that, you know, would bring home injured animals, read all the books, James Herriot and so forth. But my path took me a different way, and I ended up teaching. Mm-hmm. And science writing has been a way that I've been able to sort of marry those two interests of mine, and it's been wonderful.
Great job. Beautiful. All right. So there must be a lot of research involved in this once you came up with the concept. Did you make amazing discoveries yourself, or did you know most of these things?
Oh, I learn every time I write something for Nat Geo kids. I just, it's another reason I really, really enjoy working for them because I just learn something every time. So,
yeah, they should really change the name of the series from Nat Geo Kids to just Nat Geo Everybody. You know, it would make more sense.
Well, I think, you know, I've already given a few copies to adults and they've very much appreciated them. So, yes,
absolutely. Well, humans actually the deadliest animals, but this is different. this is about
yes,
more.
That's true. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, unfortunately, I am. Okay, the world is filled with these amazing animals that I guess we consider deadly. We're scared by deadly animals, aren't we?
In general, I think that everybody has a different definition of what they're afraid of. So, you know, some people are not real great with reptiles, snakes, other people, insects. So I think there's something in the book that will be cause everyone to be squeamish. I think we tried to
you probably
hit all the major animal groups.
you got them all. To me, the scariest seems to be the spider. I you know, even the small ones concern me. I assume that there are species that are indeed deadly in that category.
Yes, definitely. We did, in this book, we featured the tarantula, which is something that I learned, since we're talking about things that I've learned, is that they're actually not as threatening with their venom toward predators, that they actually take some of their hairs and fling them at predators and try to get them in their eyes, which is more irritating than anything else. So they just want to be left alone. They look pretty, you know, any insect that has hair, it can, can look a little more than a little intimidating, but they're actually pretty shy.
Yeah. I have an Uncle Frank who's bald, and he's a bit more intimidating than if he had hair. Anyway. and then snakes. I mean, I guess we know that some snakes, like garter snakes, are probably harmless, but for the most part, we're never sure about the snakes, are we?
There are ways that you could tell if a snake is venomous or not. The rule of thumb is it's always good to leave it alone.
Yeah.
The snakes again tend to be pretty shy and they want to hide rather than to, you know, be particularly aggressive.
Yeah.
So people who get bitten are usually ones that surprise them.
Yeah. And we're usually scared of bears for some reason. I mean, I've seen them in circus venues and I'm glad there's no more of those, pretty much. But anyway, they're made to be menacing. Are they indeed dangerous?
I think by their very nature, bears would be right up there with animals that we would want to leave alone.
Uh-huh.
But I would, you know, again, most of the time when you hear about people getting attacked by bears, it's either because they have surprised them or, you know, there's cubs involved and they're being very protective of their cubs. Or, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, you have people that see a bear and they think it's, you know, kind of cute, uh-huh, and want to get closer or to get a picture with it, and not a good idea.
Okay, I learned from your book that more people are harmed by cows than they are sharks.
Yes.
Why? How does that work?
Well, cows are responsible for about 20 deaths a year worldwide. Sharks tend to be responsible for maybe 5 or 6.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of that has to do with publicity, that, you know, a shark attack is something that is pretty, it's uncommon and it's, you know, exciting, but because cows we see every day,
yes,
whether that's some, you know, and if a cow is having a bad day, or you are not, you're catching it at a bad time,
uh-huh,
you know, they're, you know, almost, they can be almost a ton,
yeah,
and have big horns, and they'll not hesitate to, you know,
use
them.
I guess that'll do it. I know that in the older days of the fantasies that there were dragons and they spit fire and some of them flew around and stuff. Are there still dragons around?
Well, the Komodo dragon is the world's largest lizard. They can be about 10 feet long, and
whoa,
they can weigh 300 pounds or so, right? So they are definitely intimidating also. But they're also venomous. So, and
wow,
their teeth are about an inch long, and they have edges like a saw blade. Yeah, so, yeah, they're not in North America, but
thank God.
Dragons definitely exist.
Yeah. Wow, that's scary stuff. Now, the oceans, unless you're a skin diver or something, we don't know what the hell's in that stuff. I mean, I've seen some video on you know, ocean exploration, and it all looks rather intimidating. Are there actually dangerous, poisonous situations under the sea?
Absolutely. There's a lot of, like, for example, there's a fish that lives on the reef. It's a stonefish. And it will sit there all day. It's, you know, camouflaged. It blends into the reef. But it has spines on its back that, you know, if it's threatened, it will pop those spines up. And it's going to, you know, give anything that tries to take a bite out of it a pretty nasty surprise. And unfortunately, that can also be people stepping on them. You know, always take care wherever you are in nature, but definitely
wow,
in the sea.
They seem to be so harmless when I see in the underwater, you know, divers and going up to the fish and the sea creatures, and they seem to like it, but that's not always the case. I guess you have to know what you're doing.
Definitely. It's just always a case of you don't know what that animal is doing or feeling at that particular moment. And again, in so many cases, if there are eggs that are being protected or young that are being protected, they're going to, you know, go after you pretty hard to protect them.
And they're probably much better in the water than a human might be, I assume.
That is also correct.
Yes. Okay. What about jellyfish? They scare me because they're almost translucent. And are they poisonous or they just sting?
So the most venomous animal is a box jellyfish.
Oh.
And they are very, they're very large, but that's the animal that has the strongest venom.
Wow.
In the world. They, but again, they're not going to attack you. That's more of a case of they use that for protection, or, you know, if you would be unlucky enough to swim into one, that would be bad. Yeah. But,
well, they're translucent. Aggressive. I mean, how could I not swim into one? I mean, they're,
yeah. Well, I don't, most of the time you don't need to worry about those. Those are very deep water.
Okay, good. Animals, so. Good, good. How large?
They're close to the shore.
How large does a large jellyfish get?
Let's see. The box jelly, I think, can be 16. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. The body of the jelly itself is going to be a couple feet. In diameter, but the tentacles can go out, yards and yards.
Okay, no way.
Yeah.
No way. All right, fine. I'm just going to go to the swimming pools and leave it at that. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
What about something around our house? I guess it depends on where you live, but the common person in this country, is there anything around here that could be venomous and dangerous in that sense?
I would think that almost every area in North America is home to at least one venomous snake. But again, it tends to be, you know, they're not generally aggressive.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm in Pennsylvania, and we only have two venomous snakes, the eastern rattlesnake and the northern copperhead.
Okay.
And copperheads, you just need to leave them alone because they don't ever strike unless you bother them.
Oh, my God. All right. The book is incredible. It's Nat Geo Kids' Deadliest Animals on the Planet. It's available everywhere. Is there a website that we can visit?
You can find it at Nat Geo Kids or any of your favorite online retailers.
Perfect. Well, continued success. Please do more of these books. This is always fun to talk to you and to find out about this and share the books with the parents and the kids or everybody. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Zmanski, thank you so much for your time today. All right. Thank you to my guests and thank you to you for stopping by. I'll be back again next time a weekday rolls around. But until that time does happen, I wish you peace.